broad.
We haven't finished looking at the upper echelons of feminine power in Europe. In a moment, we go to Paris for a profile of presidential candidate Ségolène Royal. But first, spare a thought for those women toiling at the bottom of Europe's political machine.
I can wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can starch and iron 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan, 'cause I'm a woman.
Perhaps International Women's Day would be better appreciated by the female MEPs and bureaucrats trying to make a name for themselves in Brussels. But how seriously are women taken in the EU capital? I put it to Radio Netherlands Brussels correspondent Vanessa Mock that it was surely still a man's world.
I actually don't think it is a man's world, because the women at the European Parliament and at the European Commission are very active. They're very vocal. They head up lots of committees, lots of reports. They certainly have more than their fair share of speaking time during plenaries. And so they are taken very seriously, I think, no more nor less so than their male counterparts. But the problem is, I think, that only about a third of MEPs at the European Parliament are women, a much, much higher percentage in Northern countries, especially Scandinavian countries, and you've got countries like France and Spain, which really come bottom of the pile. Just about a fifth of MEPs from Spain are women. So that really is where the whole thing just kind of falls down.
What's the life like of a woman working in Brussels or Strasbourg, the MEPs and diplomats? Do you think that the way they live and work is a good example to the working woman generally in Europe, or do you think they're having to play at being men in some way?
I think certainly in terms of the kind of institutional support they get, it's quite a good example. They don't have as much of a battle on their hands in terms of, for instance, getting creche facilities, in terms of getting maternity leave. But nevertheless, I mean, there are very, very long working hours. There's a culture of long working hours. There's also a culture of travel. And just to pick out the European Parliament, that sits 1 week per month in Strasbourg. That's 7 hours down the road by train. And so it means that for mothers, or especially for single mothers, it makes it very, very difficult. What do you do with your children then for that week? So there are facilities in place, but it's not an easy world. But I think perhaps rather than listening to me talking about it, you should just get a little snapshot of women at the European Parliament describing what the situation is like.
The main problem is always, as usual, the hierarchy. More women on the bottom and less on the top. So that's but it's true for all the countries, I think.
I'm working with a lot of women, MEPs, women, and I really like it because they are more strong than men, I must say, and they keep their opinions, they don't change it, and they are very tough, which men are not.
I would say that if anything, it's the question is of working hours and the long hours culture. Any workplace which involves meetings which go on late, or when you have frequent travel to missions to Strasbourg, that is obviously very difficult for reconciling family and working life, and that is a problem.
So that was just a little snapshot of women I spoke to this morning at the cafeteria at the European Parliament here in Brussels.
That was a nice cross-section of women working in Brussels that we heard just then, Vanessa. But how are most women still perceived in Brussels? It's still women who does the bulk of the dog's body work.
Yeah, I think that is basically the whole nub of the problem, really, that there's a disproportionate amount of women who are still doing the secretarial jobs, the administrative posts, who are working in the lower ranks of what they call here directorates, which is the different departments. The European Parliament certainly wants to clamp down on that. It's launched a whole raft of schemes. So the balance still has to be redressed. But I have to say that apart from the facts and figures of the people working here, I think I do have to mention something at the risk of sounding unpolitically correct, which is the first thing that strikes you when you go into the European Parliament here in Brussels is the overwhelming number of really good-looking, very young women walking about. And I asked one of my colleagues at the European Parliament, Jori van den Broek, who's been working at the Parliament for over a decade and heads of the communications unit, exactly why there are so many good-looking women and whether this says anything about gender discrimination, for instance. And this is what she told me.
Yeah, there are a lot of young, good-looking women around. They are usually assistants to MEPs, but mind you, also also some civil servants are young and good looking. They have passed a strenuous exam before entering the civil service here in Europe. So, and my experience with assistants, even though they're good looking, it's maybe unfortunate even that they are good looking, because they are incredibly bright and keen. And maybe it's because there are not so many good looking young men around that they stand out.
Exactly. So the whole problem really is not that there are too many good looking women, but not enough good looking men, apparently. So bring them in.
Vanessa Mock in Brussels there.